going to share the offering message with you this morning. Amen. Good morning and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I wasn't here earlier. Happy Father's Day to all of you. Come on, Pastor Joe. Yeah, I was just trying to give you like time.
Amen.
Together,
I appreciate so you didn't have that.
To run. Yeah.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Amen. Did you catch what Pastor David and Pastor Lacey have been saying all morning? Do you understand that he loves you? Do you understand that everything he has said in that word is for our benefit? And it's for our benefit because he loves us. We love because we were first loved. Naturally, it's Father's Day, right? But none of us as men are fathers if there wasn't the original. God Almighty, our Father, our Dad in heaven, who made us in His image and His likeness. Why? For fellowship, for relationship, to have someone that He can take His love and lavish on. That's what it's all about. And this morning, this is not the offering message, but this morning, it's where it's rooted in. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, please. Put my spectacles up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to jump straight to verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. Now, Paul, leading up to this place, Paul is explaining to the church in Corinth that the Macedonians, even in their lack, were giving to Paul. They were providing for what he had need of. And he lays it out very plainly that even in their affliction, out of their joy and the grace that God had given them, they saw fit to help Paul, to send what he had need of. And really what jumped out is verse 12 that very plainly just says this: "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have." Now, when it comes, see, this is when we give and don't look. You don't have to raise your hand, but you better be honest. How many of us, when it comes offering time, have felt that little tighten up where you're like, it's a little tight right now this week. I don't know how much. I don't have the money to do that. I can't. Maybe this week. Look, it's natural, right? We all have that. But what Paul is talking about is let that go. The Macedonians made up their mind beforehand. It does not matter what happens. It doesn't matter what I don't have. I'm looking at what I do have. And when you have a heart that has been radically transformed by God, you have no choice, church. The love that starts to bubble up inside of you, it's unexplainable. It literally is supernatural love. And when that love comes to the surface, it starts to give you this fire, this just burning desire to do things that normally you've spent your entire life saying, no, I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go stand down a dirt lane of a nursery for 4 hours in the sun and allow the backs of my calves to turn bright red. Amen. I did not realize that until I got done cutting grass last night. My legs hurt so bad. I was like, oof. But you do that. Why? Because of love. It's easy to come up with excuses. There is a million things I could have come up with to do yesterday morning. I had grass to cut, weed eating to do, weeds to pull. There were things to do, classes to take, reading to get done. But what is that? That's natural stuff. Yes, they're all things that need to be done. But in my heart, I want to do whatever it is God has for me to do. And if there's an opportunity to take and share that love that He's put inside of me with other people, you'll start looking for opportunities to do it. You're not going to look at all the time you don't have. You're just going to look at it and say, you know what? I know what I do have. I know what I can do. And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Why? Not because I'm trying to check a box. Not because I'm trying to live up to some religious standard. But because I love Jesus. And because He loved me and gave His life for me. And out of that great love, I'm going to give it everything I've got. I don't care how dumb I look. I don't care how foolish people think I sound. I don't care. He died for me. He died. He gave His life. He didn't have to. He did not have to, church. And that's the part that makes it so humbling. He did not need us. He didn't. He is all sufficient in and of Himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are perfect. They lack nothing. They need nothing. But it's out of this love that they had, that they wanted to share, that they created man and said, that is my chosen vessel to which I'm going to take my love and pour into. I'm going to give my life so that my spirit can dwell in them. There literally has to be no separation between us and God. The moment we say yes to Jesus and we're washed clean, He dwells in us. We are the temple not made with human hands. That's what we are. So really, when it comes down to it, what is money, honestly? What is it? It's a tool. Money in your hand, when you're a member of the kingdom of heaven, money in your hand is a weapon. Money in your heart, that's disease. That's not going to do you any good. The love of money is not going to do you any good. But when you can hold that money in your hand and know that my God will supply all of my needs according to His riches, not so I can stockpile, not so I can take it and just go buy a whole bunch of stuff that I don't need, but so I can take and bless people. So I can take it when we come in here. And I used to be one of those people. I used to think churches were underhanded. They just want to get you money. But when you start to understand the things that we did yesterday, church, we live in a natural world. Money is necessary. You don't have to love it to be willing to get it and use it. You don't have to love it. But when you realize the more of this I can grab a hold of and pour into the kingdom of heaven, every time I do that, it's kicking the devil right square in the teeth. And it's fun to do that. Every single one of us should sit here with a heart of wanting to make the devil rue the day he didn't kill us when he had the chance. To take the money and go, God, You get all of it. I will share this. This is a radical thing, and you guys are going to go, you're out of your mind. That's fine. Like I said, I can sound and look like an idiot. I don't care. But I went to Tampa about 3 years ago, and I sat in the upper balcony at the river. We were only there for day 2 of 4. I had $180 cash in my wallet. And I heard the Holy Spirit say just as plain as day, you give me this $180. And I will give you 180 million. That's what I heard Him say. Now, if I wanted to be fleshy, I would say it's been like 2 or 3 years. I haven't seen 180 million. But I'm telling you this right now as a declaration. I'm going to see 180 million come back. It might be in one big pile. It might be in increments. I don't know. But I know every time I see a big seed come in, the devil's getting kicked square in the mouth. I'm going to take it. I'm going to sow it into the kingdom so we can do things like we did yesterday. We talk about soul winning, soul winning. Yes, it is soul winning. But the heart of it is reaching people right where they're at. Not saying you have to show up to our church building on a Sunday morning. No. Show up. We want to bless you. It's a holy setup, church. Come get some free stuff and I'm going to give you the greatest free gift you could ever receive in all of this earth. All of it. And it's an act of worship. Nothing, nothing brings me greater joy on this earth than just taking what God has given to me and saying, how do you want me to give this back to you? How can I honor you? How can I glorify you in this? This, on Sunday mornings, is just a small, the opportunity to give. It's just a small thing I can do when I take into consideration everything that He's done for me. I wouldn't have a dollar if it weren't for Him in the first place. So why wouldn't I, out of the love that I have for Him, why wouldn't I say, Dad, take this? In Mark, I think it's chapter, hold on, I've got it marked. I've got Mark marked. It's Mark, chapter 12. It's the story of the widow with the two mites. It's a familiar story, right? Jesus and His disciples, they go to the temple and they sit back, and I notice, I find it very, very interesting that the New King James Version says that Jesus gathered His disciples around and He watched how the people put their money in the offering box. And what He ultimately saw, and we know this story, He saw the people who were rich, who were well off, come in and put in large sums of money. But then there was a widow who came in, and even in her poverty, took two copper coins and placed them in the box. When you look that up, and I wanted to double check because I wanted to get this right last night, those two coins that she put in that box, and in today's economy, you know how much it was worth? 1/38 of 1 cent. Let that sit for a second. The penny that you see that you just toss aside, what she put in wasn't even equal to the value of one penny. It was less than that. And Jesus told His disciples, pay attention. Because what she just put in was worth more than everybody else who put in out of their abundance. Because they put in out of their excess. And that's what I pray we all start to get a hold of, church. It's not about how much you put in the basket, in the envelope, in the box. It's not about the dollar amount. It's about the heart that's behind it. Father, I trust You. That widow knew that those two copper coins, the Lord could do more with that than she ever could. So why not give it to God, the God of multiplication? That's what He does. Nowhere in creation do you put one seed in and only get one back. Nowhere. And don't try to tell me that that's the way it is with kids, because that's not the case, because your kid will have a kid who will have a kid who will have a kid. So it's always multiplication. It's always. This morning, settle in. I want you to take this opportunity this morning and consider the love that God has shown you in your life. And don't just check a box and say, I'm going to give. Take a moment and ask your Heavenly Father, Dad, how much do You want me to give? How much would You have me give? And this is not the church trying to get your money. You want to know what we're trying to get you? Your blessing. Because when you have proven yourself faithful over little, He'll make you ruler over much. So if money doesn't have your heart, wait and see what the Lord will do. Wait and see what the Lord will do. He's not worried about the dollar amount. He's worried about where's your heart. Where is the heart behind the offering? Where is it? Ushers, if you would like to come forward, ask the Lord this morning, Lord, what would You have me give? And be obedient and watch and see what the Lord will do. Amen. We have many ways that you can give. We've got Venmo. Yes, yes, Venmo. At NFC Give, we have got cash or check. You can put in the envelope, or you can text GIVE to 866-863-1948. All different ways to give, or you can go online to newfreedom-church.com. There are many ways that you can give. Ushers, go ahead and serve the people. This is what Jesus said in Mark 12, starting in verse 43. Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had. Church, she put in her whole livelihood, everything as she had. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, gentlemen. Believe with me, church. Father, we take this seed that is in these baskets and we offer it to you. We ask, Lord, that out of the love that you have for us, you would put your mighty hand upon this seed and multiply it. Not for our benefit alone, but for the benefit of every single person in this community who does not know how much you love them, Lord. Let this seed go forth and impact entire generations in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, church, I'm going to get out of the way. And I'm going to let Pastor Lacey come up here and give you what the Lord gave her. Be ready. Holler, church. Yell. Get happy. Get excited.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, good morning, church. I think I already said good morning, didn't I? Amen. It's funny being on the other side of this. I don't know like what buttons to press, and I'm so used to all the other things. So, but, you know, I feel like Pastor David and Pastor Joe probably just already preached all the messages, so I'm just going to give you what the Lord gave me. It's, you know, I was asking the Lord, what do you have for the people? Because if you remember on Mother's Day when Pastor David was preaching, I said, well, I think I'll preach Father's Day. Well, then this week I was like, why did I say that? But I had to stick to it. So I asked the Lord, what is it that you have? And he gave me one word, steadfast. And that's the word he said to me, steadfast. And it's funny, as Pastor David and Pastor Joe are preaching, they're talking about steadfastness. Because the word steadfast means to be firmly fixed in a place. Immovable. That's what steadfast means, to be immovable. So when you're immovable, it means that no matter what is coming at you, no matter what is happening, you're not moving. You're standing firm. Can you see why the Lord would be saying this right now? Because there's a whole lot of things coming at us wanting us to change, correct? But the Lord is saying steadfast. Steadfast. It also means firm in belief and determination. I know a lot of you in here that are stubborn. So you shouldn't have, yeah. And I was asking the Lord this morning about, you know, you can be steadfast for a lot of things. So I want to challenge you to be careful what you're steadfast about. Be careful what you're immovable about. Because it was funny, the Lord is speaking to me about being steadfast in him. But a lot of us can be immovable in our thoughts, in our traditions, in our marriages, not compromising. I am steadfast and not moving. No, I'm saying what I'm talking about today is be steadfast in the Lord, because he'll show you when you need to move. He'll show you when you need to compromise. He'll show you as you stay steadfast and you stand on the rock that is firm, and he will show you as you stay humble. To be steadfast in the Lord means to be humble, because you're going to have to take some correction. Amen. The Bible says he corrects those that he loves. And each one of you is loved by God. So he will correct you at some point in time. So this message, I kept saying to the Lord, I want it to be uplifting. I want to equip people and encourage them. So that's where my message is coming from today. So please hear it that way. I'm not telling you you're not steadfast. I'm just giving you the Lord has given me. And when the Lord gives this word, it means because there's a temptation to not be whatever the Lord is telling us to do. Amen? So I am... Your steadfastness, the other thing I want you to see is your steadfastness impacts those around you. And you know, I know today is Father's Day, and I actually had to get out of my head that it was Father's Day, because I don't want to preach to just the fathers. Love all you dads. So you take it for what you need to take it for. The moms are going to take it for what they need to take it for. Those that aren't yet parents are going to take it for what they need to take it for. Because guess what? We're all children of God. And so that's the biggest thing, is we're all children of God and we have a part to play. But I will say this to the dads. Your steadfastness in the Lord will impact generations that come from you. Your steadfastness in the Lord impacts those around you, not those that just call you dad. I don't know about you, but I had a lot of uncles and grandfathers that were huge impacts in my life. And they had a huge impact on me because they were steadfast. And their steadfastness impacted me. And you, as the head of the house, your steadfastness will impact those around you. Because there's children out there that don't have a dad, and they're looking at you, and they're watching you with your family, and your steadfastness in the Lord will impact them and have a lasting effect. I'm sure if I asked all of you right now, you have some man in your life that was steadfast in the Lord that impacted your life. How many got a show of hands? Steadfast man in the Lord that impacted your life. Amen. Yes. And you can say that about women too. I get it. But there's something about a man being ahead and him being steadfast and immovable. That man in my life was my great uncle that I talk about a lot. And now I'll cry. I was thinking about him this morning. And it didn't matter what happened in life. He was steadfast in the Lord. He was never moved by anything. Other people would get worked up about things, and he would just say, give me a scripture. He would just have a scripture right away. He was just the same, always. But he was steadfast in the Lord. That's how he stayed even keel. He wasn't moved by circumstances around him. He was steadfast and immovable in the Lord. And the world is full of instability. And are we supposed to be like the world? No. Steadfastness brings stability. As we're steadfast in the Lord, we will be stable. Amen? And people are looking for stability. There's too much instability in the world right now. So this scripture was actually what had come to me, and I love when God does this, because I don't know how many of you follow Rick Renner, but his letter, his partner letter this week that came in the mail after I started writing my sermon was on steadfastness. I was like, oh, I guess the Lord has something, a theme we're going with this week. So I'm not going to look up the Greek words. How many of y'all know Pastor Lacey loves Greek words? So that's why I love Rick Renner. And so he already did the work for me because God is so good. In Galatians 6:9, let's go there. And it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap, and then look at this conditional word, if. So everybody wants to go, we shall reap, but there's an if. If we do not lose heart. This is about being steadfast. Because it says, let us not grow weary. So I want to tell you some of these words. That word weary, when it's combined with two, I won't go too deep for you. It's two words compounded together. It says, one who is tempted to give up because he feels accosted by evil, destructive, or an unjust person or circumstance. That's what weary means. When you feel like everything is against you, all these circumstances are against you, and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to give up. But the Lord is commanding you, don't give up in those moments. That is not the time to give up because you're already victorious. Amen? You already have the victory living on the inside of you. So it's saying even when you're tempted to give up because you feel like evil has come against you, destruction is against you, an unjust person. How many of you feel like you've been victim of an unjust person, injustice? Like you're like, why? Right? A circumstance. He's saying don't be tempted. Don't do it. Don't give up. Because your reward is coming as you stay steadfast. So it says, do not grow weary. The word well is actually a compounded word meaning a useful work. So that got me thinking, can you grow weary doing an unuseful work? Sure, go ahead, get weary and give up on that. But don't give up when you're doing a useful work. Amen? Sometimes we're doing work that's not work unto the Lord, it's work unto our flesh, and we become weary, and we want to press through that, but we want to give up on the work the Lord gave for us. No, you got it backwards. You got to keep moving with the useful work that God gave you to do. And that word useful actually means that it takes a lot of energy and time expended. So it does take work, but don't give up. And the word doing there is an ongoing action. It's a lifestyle. This is your lifestyle. So don't grow weary. Don't give up while doing good, for in due season you shall reap. And Miss Jeannie brought this out months ago about shall. It's a legal term meaning it has to happen. It's like a binding word. Well, it's the same. That's true in the Greek. It says, for you shall. That means it's a fixed and guaranteed to happen. So if you do not grow weary in well-doing, doing useful work unto the Lord, you will reap a harvest. Amen. There's a reward to that. So as you stay steadfast, there is a reward in what? Due season. What does that mean, due season? It might not be the season you want it to happen. Come on. There's a due season. There's many farmers that want their wheat to be dried down like yesterday so they could get out there, right? But then you can in due season. When the time is right for the harvest, when the time is right for that wheat to be dried down. Now, you can pick it when it's not dried down. Combine it, excuse me. I'm so sorry I said pick wheat. You can combine it. Those of you that aren't farmers, you didn't catch that, but everybody else did. And my dad, if he's watching, he would call me later and tell me about it. So you can dry it down, but it costs a lot more money. It costs a lot of money to dry it down. Or you can wait for the due season. You see? Are you guys awake this morning?
Amen.
All right. So when is your due season? When the Lord says, ha ha, but you can't grow weary. Amen. And there is a spirit trying to get you to quit right now. Right? Because we are living in the greatest time right now. The greatest harvest that we're ever going to see in our lifetime. I've been reading a book on revival. Man, I'm telling you, if you're feeling discouraged, I'll tell you the name of this book. Research all the way back to the 1700s, okay? When they were starting to see moves of God, seeking out the Holy Spirit up into Azusa Street. And I'm telling you, if you're starting to feel weary, read this book, you won't feel weary anymore. Because I'm like, oh, I'm going to see that and greater. Do you see? Because we're living in the greatest time. But there's a spirit of wanting to give up because we're right on the brink of our due season. Amen? And I'm not giving up. What about you? I'm not going to grow weary and I'm not going to back down. But maybe there's things in our life that aren't useful works that we need to back down from. See, when we're steadfast in the Lord and we're immovable with Him, it allows us to be movable on other things because He shows us what to move out of or to move into. And there is a new season happening right now. A lot of you are going through season changes, moving, going places, and you're working through what God has for you. Don't back down even when it doesn't look good. Because God has it for you, and He has the plan. But let me tell you something. Being steadfast requires work. What? We don't work unto the Lord. No, it requires work to put your flesh under to be able to stay steadfast when your flesh wants to give up. Because let's be real. All those things it talks about, when you have undue circumstances, you feel like evil is coming against you. What really wants to give up? Not your spirit. Your flesh. Your flesh wants to give up. Your spirit doesn't. Your spirit is saying, come on, let's go. And your flesh is like, I'm tired, I'm over it. These people are getting on my nerves, right? Oh, sorry, I'm the only person that ever says that. These people are getting on my nerves. Okay, good. But we have to tell our flesh, no, I'm going to keep moving, right? Because we have to be steadfast unto the Lord. Amen. So the word if means you have the power to disrupt your due harvest. Ouch. Nobody wants to talk about that. Everybody wants to talk about, well, I will reap a harvest. Yeah, if you don't give up. If you don't give up. How many of you ever trained for like a marathon or something? Anybody? Trained for anything? How many of you ever dieted? Everybody's dieted, right? So you will lose weight if you don't give up. But then when you give up, you gain all your weight back, right? Okay, bad analogy. I'm going through calorie counting right now, so it's just I'm working through it, okay? But you know, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. But the moment you give up, it's done. Yeah. It's done. So all the seeds, and I kind of want to say this because of what Pastor Joe just preached about, is that it's a lifestyle of being diligent. It's a lifestyle of giving and reaping the harvest. Amen? You have to keep moving. So stay steadfast. And the word says, if you will not lose heart or faint. You know what that really means? It means to loosen or relax. And the Lord's really been dealing with me about that. You know, when we stay steadfast in the Lord, we're constantly searching His word. We're pressing in and we're going after Him. But it seems like a lot of people have gotten relaxed. You know, they want to read all these self-help books about, can I use that? They want to read all these self-help books about, you know, how I can be a better Christian and what's okay and what's not okay. This is the best self-help book you can get. It's not to stay steadfast in all the self-help and listen to all the podcast gurus you can listen to. And there's amazing men and women of God out there. But see, this is where we've become a little relaxed. We're going to let someone else figure it out for us. We're not going to be in our time in the Lord. We're not going to be steadfast to the Lord. I use Pastor Davis because I use an iPad, and I don't want you to think I'm saying the iPad is the best self-help. I want you to know I mean the Bible. So, you know, We need to be steadfast in the Lord, which is in his word. And I am not against all those other things. But if you're not taking time to search it out for yourself and stay steadfast in his word, you're going to be based on other people's opinions. You're not going to have it deep on the inside of you. You can't stay steadfast until you get it deep on the inside of you. It's like when you're doing like some subject in school, right? You can have a tutor all the day long, but then something clicks and you're like, oh, I got it, right? And then you can do it yourself. You can see it. Your eyes are open. So even if you're like, I don't really understand it, keep at it. Stay steadfast. Ask for wisdom. The Lord has it for you. Thank you, Pastor David. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so Jesus is our example of the steadfastness, and he made a way for us. Praise God. How many of you are glad that Jesus stayed steadfast to the Father's plan? Amen. But see, hear what you don't understand. The Father has a plan for you to stay steadfast, and generations will be impacted from your steadfastness. The only person that wants you to quit is the devil. That's the only person that wants you to quit. Jesus is cheering you. He's with you. It says he's making constant intercession for you. He is your mediator. He is for you, and he is your high example. Who wanted Jesus to give up? The enemy. Who did he use? The disciples. Oh, what? Peter said, don't talk like that. You're not going to the cross. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You see? So maybe people around you are trying to get you to not be steadfast. You're not fighting against the person, but when you're steadfast and movable, you go, I ain't listening to that. I'm going this way, right? Steadfast in the plan. Well, the plan that God has for you may not seem really great to everybody else. They may not quite understand it, right? I'm not going to share our story because you all know it, but people thought we were crazy. People still think we're crazy. People think we're crazy now as ministers. People have said all kinds of things about us and to us and behind us, but I don't really worry about it because who am I steadfast in? The Lord. Yeah. I'm not steadfast in man's opinion of me or what they want to tell me to do. I'm steadfast in the Lord. But if you don't spend time in the Word, you don't know the Word the Lord has for you, then you're moved when people come and try to speak into your life. What is the Lord speaking to you? Staying steadfast, immovable on what he has for you. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, because I want you to see something, I think it was Pastor David or Pastor Joe, this is for you. It's for you, and you're called to be steadfast. You have it on the inside of you. It says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So that's where I was saying Jesus was steadfast, which means we should be steadfast. Nobody wants to talk about that either. Everybody wants the end result, but they don't want to talk about the work that it gets to be there. Staying steadfast requires you to be headstrong in the Lord. Not in a fleshy way. I might have said the wrong word. I can't think of a better one. But steadfast in the Lord. In Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all ways, in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. And I was thinking about this. You know, when was Jesus tempted? When did the enemy come at him to think he could get him? When he was in his weakest flesh point. When he had fasted for 40 days and had been in the wilderness. That's when the enemy came to him. But yet he still stayed steadfast. What did he use? The word. That's how he stayed steadfast. The word. When he was tempted, he used the word. His flesh was tired. So you don't have a mediator that can't sympathize with you. He can sympathize with you in all points. So when you're tempted to give up, you can say, Jesus, help me. And he'll remind you of who you are. Yes. Of who you are. Yes. Because when you're reminded of who you are, you stay steadfast in the Lord. Because you're like, he did this for me. He did this for me. I'm already victorious. Death has been defeated for me. I'm healed of the Lord. You know? It'll make you keep going, right? Amen. Right. Sometimes we have to be reminded of who we are. In Psalms 51:10, King David said this, because I want you to see that if you're like, I haven't been very steadfast, I've been a little shaky, it's all right. All you do is cry out to God. Maybe you need to cry out to God, is there an area that I haven't been steadfast in you in? Show me. And King David said in Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Renew a stable and faithful spirit within me. That was King David crying out. If he can cry out, we can cry out. Amen. And the greatest thing is we already have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. King David didn't even have that. We have the helper right here on the inside of us. All we have to do is cry out, renew in me a steadfast spirit, Lord. I repent from not being steadfast. I repent from being tossed to and fro. I won't do that anymore, Lord. I'm all in. Amen? Don't back down. And I want to show you another example of the disciples. You know, the Bible is the inspired word of God. True? True. Right. So it's for us, correct? Yes. Okay. So the examples are for us. So Acts 5:12. Because we're living in a day and hour where if you're not steadfast, you'll cower. You'll cower. Because there's a lot of threats happening. There's threats that are happening to the church. I hear, you know, a lot of people saying America wants to get rid of the church and the powers to be want to do this. And I'm not against, I don't really know. I don't focus on it. I do think there's an agenda for that. But I'm like, I'm steadfast in the Lord. So it doesn't matter if America starts saying, you can't preach God, you can't go to church. I'm steadfast in the Lord. So it doesn't really matter. It's the same reason Pastor David even said we kept our doors open, because it doesn't really matter if they said they're going to come arrest us, shut our church down. Doesn't matter. I'm going to do what God told me to do. So when you're steadfast in the Lord, you're not moved by threats. You're not moved by it. The Bible says people will fall away to their itching ears in the end times. You're not moved by that. You don't jump on board with that because you're steadfast and immovable on the rock. Nothing is going to change you. You're not going to let people tell you different versions of the Bible or, you know, God doesn't really think that anymore. It just doesn't fit. No, it says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So, sorry. That's my God. If it makes you feel more comfortable, you can say that, but it ain't going to go well for you. Yeah, I'm steadfast in what the Word says. Again, another reason a printed Bible is so important. I thought my friend was crazy when she said this to me, but it's happening. They're changing the Word of God. Somebody's calling me right in the middle of church. Okay, I have to call them back. Amen. So that's why I don't wear my Apple Watch. I accidentally wore it today. So that threw me off. Sorry. All right. Praise God. Tell me, where was I? Stay steadfast in the Lord. Get a printed Bible. They can change the Bibles online. They're doing that. But when you have this printed Bible, you know, and written on your heart, as you meditate on the Word, steadfast, immovable. I am not being moved by anything. In Acts 5:12, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. This is just coming to me. I want to tell you, as you stay steadfast in the Lord, you may be set apart by other people that you think are Christians. Because it says no one else dared join them. There were people when we left our church open that distanced themselves very quickly because what in the world? You all are radical. I loved that, actually. Yes, I am. Thank you very much. I am radical. I'm radical for Jesus. I'm proud of that fact. I don't care. I think it's funny that you're called radical when all you do is follow the Bible. But that's the world we live in today. That if you follow the Bible and you stay true to it, you're radical. No, I'm just a follower of Christ. Thank you very much. What would we call? No, never mind. Sorry, that was wrong. I'm not going to get there. Okay, so it says that, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. People will say to you, I wish I could do what you do. Well, you can. It's a choice. You think I'm being funny, and I'm not trying to talk down, but I hear this all the time. Oh, that's so great what you do. No, I don't do anything but follow the Bible. Steadfastness. And that's not anything about me. I'm just doing what the Word of God says. You have that on the inside of you too. You have that on the inside of you. People just don't understand it. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. I want to tell you something. This is just coming to me now. As you stay steadfast in the Lord, as you press into the Lord, you will see signs, wonders, and miracles. See, it takes a pressing in and a dying to self to stay steadfast in the Lord. But as you do that, you will see exactly what they saw. People will know to come to you. People will know you have the answer. There's something about you. People that have come against Pastor David and I, because we speak in tongues and we believe in the Holy Spirit, yes, that's a real thing. People come against you for that. I've had people come to me and say later, I don't really believe in it, but you're the most stable people I've ever met. I'm like... That's kind of called the Holy Ghost keeps you stable, okay? You know, and I'm like, well, all the glory to God, right? Because then they still want to come to us for advice. They still want us to help them. But they don't believe in that speaking in tongues. But we're the most stable people they know. Okay, great. Thank you very much. So people will know. They will see the difference in you. They might, so love them anyway, right? Did they say, well, you wouldn't come up on the porch with us, but you want us to heal you? They said, okay, we'll come out. His shadow still healed all the people. That's staying steadfast in your love with the Lord. Because God loves the people. He sees them where they are. So as you stay steadfast in the Lord, you're able to love the other people that people want to turn away. Because you're steadfast in the love of God and what he has for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, and if you go down a little further, so I want you to see, oh no, I didn't get all the way, sorry. Kelly's back there like, no, keep reading. Right. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. Why? Because they weren't having the signs and wonders. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. They had just been thrown in prison. Then the Lord says, go back and preach. When you're steadfast in the Lord, you don't go, well, what if? They just said, okay, and they went, right? That's what they did. They obeyed because they were steadfast in the Lord. They don't care about the consequences because they're steadfast in the Lord and the answer to him. When you're steadfast in the Lord, it's because you love him and you want to do his work. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's steadfastness in the Lord. Amen. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, from whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. So not only did they say they're going to obey God, but they also plucked their nerves a little bit, okay? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witness to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So it's staying steadfast, you're going to come against persecution. But they stay steadfast. Not only did they stay steadfast, they said, I don't really care about your threats. I'm going to obey what God is telling me and what the Holy Spirit is telling me. And there is a reward in that. Do you see other people were blessed because of their obedience and steadfastness to the Lord? And in Acts 5:49, no, just kidding. There is no 49. I did that earlier. It's in 40. We can go to 40. And they agreed with him because one of the chief council spoke up. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily and in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Amen. Amen. And how many generations have been impacted because of their steadfastness to the Lord? What would have happened if they just sat down and said, "No mind, no problem, we won't preach Jesus"? It wouldn't have spread the gospel. So as you stay steadfast in the Lord, as you stay steadfast with your family, for your children, yes, for those around you, as you stay steadfast for them, you're impacting the generations yet to come because you're teaching them how to take a stand for the Lord. We want to teach our children all kinds of things, but I would rather teach my children how to stay steadfast in the Lord than teach them anything else because I won't be here forever, right? Yeah. You won't be here forever. What is the most important thing we can teach our children, moms and dads? To stay steadfast in the Lord, to depend on Him. That's the most important thing, to hear His voice, to know that they are loved by Him, to know that they have a plan. God has a plan just for them, just for them, because He loves them so much. And it shows how much you love for your children, and you don't take it lightly, the children that He has entrusted you with. Amen? Because they're not our children. They're the ones that He entrusted us with. And that's a weighty thing that we have to answer to God for. What have we done with what He has entrusted us with? And I just want to tell you, you're like, "Well, this all sounds good. I don't know if I can do it." I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. Do you know why? Because you have the fruit of the Spirit living on the inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And as you work unto the flesh, you're going to produce flesh. But as you work unto the Spirit, you will produce the fruit of the Spirit. You're like, "Well, steadfastness is not a fruit of the Spirit." Yes, it is. And this isn't a different translation either. I just want to tell you that. In Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." And I'll read 23. "Gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law." That word faithfulness actually means, it can mean fidelity, which means, oh wait, I got the definition right here because I don't want to paraphrase, sorry. Oh, I don't like that thing. Are you guys awake? Amen. Am I talking too fast? No? Okay. All right, great. Fidelity means the quality or state of being faithful. Accuracy in details, but this is the one I really like. And I know it's more of a modern translation, but it really fits here too. It says the degree to which, and now it talks about an electronic device, but it still makes me, you can just follow along. Electronic device reproduces its effect, accurately reproduces the effect. So when you think about that, how accurately do we reproduce what the Bible is saying? That's our faithfulness. And I was like, wow, that's powerful. How accurately are we reproducing what the Word of God says we should be reproducing? You know, nobody wants to talk about that. We want to talk about all the blessings and all that stuff, and there is a blessing to it. But what is God commanding us to do? And the word faithful means steadfast in affection or allegiance. So a fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The definition of that is steadfastness in affection or allegiance. So you have the fruit of, you are able to produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's what you should be producing, by the way, is the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. You can read on about the works of the flesh. You don't want to produce those. If you're seeing those in your life, you need to back up the train, stop for a second, and get over into what the Spirit is telling you, right? So you can be steadfast in the Lord. You don't have to give up. It says also another definition is given with strong assurance, true to facts. True to facts. What are our facts? The Word of God. So anything that tries to exalt itself above the Word of God, we're not going to take a hold of because we're steadfast in the Word. Amen? All right, so you already have it in you. Don't back down. You know, God is steadfast. In Genesis 17:7, "And I will," this is talking to Abraham, "and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, hallelujah, to be God to you and your descendants after you. He is a steadfast and faithful God because he is still honoring that covenant today that he made with Abraham, and you are a part of that and your generations to come. He is our example. We have the characteristics of God. We should be reproducing that, and he is steadfast and faithful. Do not back down in the face of adversity. Don't back down. And I want to talk to you about his steadfast love for you. And I couldn't think of any other better place than Luke 15:18-24 about the prodigal son. Because it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. He is like the prodigal son's father. He is looking at afar off waiting for you to come home. And he receives you with welcome arms. Because his love is steadfast. His love is steadfast. It is never failing, never ending. Amen? Amen. It says, and I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, you know, the Lord is just quickening me right here in 19. Make me like one of your hired servants. There's so many times people feel unworthy, and they say, I'll just take whatever you give me, Lord. But see, God is the prodigal son's father. No, no, no. You don't have to be one of my hired servants. You are my son. That's what the Lord is saying to you. When you try to say, I'm just not worthy, he says, yes, you are. I've made you worthy. This is who you are. This is who you are. Then he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. See, it doesn't matter what you've done. When you humble yourself, you come back to the Lord is there waiting with open arms. He's waiting and he wants to give you the best. He says, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found, and they began to be merry. Amen? That is the love that the Father has for you. And actually, when you received Jesus, that's exactly how he received you. Come, and everyone was merry. They want to give you the best. Don't relinquish your place. Don't relinquish your place at the table that God has for you. Don't do it. See, that's what happens when you give up being steadfast in the Lord. You relinquish what God has for you. You give it up. God doesn't take it from you. You've given it up. There's too many people relinquishing their place. Well, I'm just not good enough. I'll let somebody else do it. No, what did God call you to do? Don't give up your place. As you stay steadfast and you stay dependent on the Lord, knowing that he gives you, and I actually had that scripture, 2 Peter 1:23. I didn't have it in the system. 2 Peter 1:2-3, I'm sorry. 2 Peter 1:2-3. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Jesus, our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things, say all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. He's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have it all. So don't relinquish your place of where he's called you to be. Depend on him, and he is faithful to see you through to the end. Amen. He is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. Come from a place that you can do this. This is who I am, not a place where you're striving for it. And I can't remember which one of you said that this morning, but I was like, that's exactly what I had in my sermon. You don't need to come from a place trying to get there. You already are steadfast because I have faithfulness on the inside of me. I have the fruit of the Spirit. So when something tries to spring up that's not that, that's not mine. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. You know, I keep being reminded, one of the ladies at our that I visited in the nursing home, she passed away Monday, and I had been staying with her as she was transitioning to be with Jesus, and the Lord just kind of reminded me that When she had first come to the nursing home, the activities lady had asked me to go visit her because she was very hesitant about coming into a group setting. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but sometimes you just meet people that you're just like, I've just known them my whole life or something. You just feel an instant connection. And we had a really good talk. But after that, she would say to me, you came in that day. And after that, she started coming to our church services and everything. She had a, it's amazing that she lived as long as she did. It was the grace of God. And she said something to me, and it always stuck with me. Because you guys know how I talk to people. Well, I don't care if somebody's sick or not, and they're a child of God. I'm going to remind them they're a child of God. Come on. This is who you are. You got healing. You know, healing is for you. I don't care what the doctor has said. She was ate up with cancer. She actually had a tumor on her head that actually was visible. You could see it. And it doesn't matter. You're a child of God. He has healing for you. And she would talk to me, and I say, no, that's not true. And she always said to me, you came in that day, and you reminded me who I was. You reminded me who I was. And I think about that as I preach this message. Sometimes we have to be reminded who we are. You might be somebody that's like, well, I never complete anything. No, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. You are steadfast because God's given you the ability to be steadfast. Well, I'm kind of an angry person. No, your flesh may be angry, but you're a joyful person because that's who the Lord says that you are. You see, you're a loving person. So whatever it is that the enemy is trying to tell you are, you say, wait a minute, does God say that about me? Because if you can't find that in that word of God that he says that about you, then that's not who you are. Because your identity changed the day you received Jesus, your identity changed. And you became a child of God. You became washed clean. You're not a sinner just saved by grace. You're a saint redeemed. Amen? Amen? That's who you are. Remember who you are. That's how you will stay steadfast in the Lord. Remembering who you are. Remembering what he's done for you. Amen? Amen. That's how you will remember, and that's how you will stay steadfast. In 1 Corinthians 15:57. Well, I'm going to start at 56. I'm sorry, Kelly. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in what? The work of the flesh. The work of your job. Yeah, come on. Miss Suzanne said, come on, get it. Work of the Lord. Yeah, but I'm proving a point. Because you shouldn't be abounding in the fleshly things. You shouldn't be abounding in what you want to do or what the world says makes it look good. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. What is the Lord telling you to do? What does the Lord have for you? I'm telling you, if you are feeling stressed, if you are feeling depressed, what's another word? I don't want to rhyme with too many negative words. But whatever you're feeling, and you're feeling heavy, you need to ask yourself, am I doing the work of the Lord, or am I doing the work of my flesh?
Yeah. Come on.
Am I doing the work of the Lord, or am I doing what my parents want me to do, or what my spouse wants me to do, or what the world says I should be doing? I should be building this, and I should be doing that. Time is short. You know, Pastor David and I were having a faith spur the other day. What's a faith spur? Well, when we're edging each other on. We had our face swords out and we were talking, and I said, we don't have time for that. The time is short. This is what the Lord spoke. This is what we're believing, and this is what's going to happen. Amen? Pastor David is full of faith, by the way. That it's not that he's not. Sometimes he talks to me like that too. But my point is that I was very quickened. We don't have time to think about that. We don't have time to wonder about that. Now is the time. But to stay steadfast, you have to know that word the Lord spoke to you. And you have to say, okay, now's the time. I don't care if you had a 10-year plan and the Lord says, no, today is the day. Then today is the day. Because as I'm steadfast in the Lord, what did we have, like a 40-year plan? I don't know. We had a really long plan. And then the Lord changed it. Bam, just like that. It's changed. Okay, that's different. No problem. I'm so glad for his plan change, by the way. Hasn't been easy. But as you stay steadfast in the Lord, the rewards are amazing.
Yes.
The rewards are amazing. Do you hear me? One change, One, just the Lord speaking it and you doing it can change the generations to come. I got generations on my heart, man. I got generations on my heart because we serve a God of generations. And if you're not looking at the generations, you're too short-sighted because God is a God of generations. Everything we are doing right now is for generations. You know, when we started New Freedom, the Lord said it would be a generational church. Well, we're here. We got the tiniest one back there. I won't say who the oldest one is because I don't know, but we got generations. Amen. Amen. We got generations being served. Praise God. God is a God of generations. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Start thinking about those generations to come. I think about my great-grandchildren because my grandmother sowed into me. I'm a product of her steadfastness in the Lord. She's a product of one of her grandmothers being steadfast in the Lord. Do you see? There's a steadfastness. There's generations to come that are being affected. So don't give up. Don't let the enemy, it says he goes about like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. If you're like, I won't say what I want to say. Heck no, you're not devouring me. He's got to keep moving on because you have that authority. Amen? He can't take anything from you. If you say, you're not touching my generations, he can't touch your generations that are to come from you. I get so tired of people saying, well, I worry about this. This has been in our generation. Guess what? Every generational curse broke with you. You broke it off the generations after you. Because when you receive Jesus, every curse is broken off of you. It has no grip on you. So don't let the enemy lie to you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you see. As you stay steadfast in the Lord, the only thing you're going to see is the glory of God and his rewards and what he has for you. Amen? That's what you are going to see. So let me read this again. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. You know, I don't care what people call you when you're immovable. And they're going to call you some names. I can't think of one right now. I had a couple in my head a second ago. Intolerant. What else? Yep. Yep. Prideful. Yep. What do you mean Jesus is the only way? Yep, he's the only way. Actually, I ministered to, yesterday I was all fired up because we did that outreach, so I had to take the stuff up to the Goodwill, and I was like, well, these three guys, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Why are we going to stop now? We've already witnessed everybody that came to the yard sale. I'm just going to keep witnessing to them. So I'm asking them. They let me pray a blessing over them. I said, do you know what would happen to you if you were to die today? The one guy goes, yeah, I do. I know Jesus. The other guy looks at me. He goes, I'm Muslim. And I said, well, that's okay because God loves you too. You know, because it doesn't matter. Like, but the world wants us to think we're going to judge him. But I was like, God loves you. It's good. Okay. You know, and so the world will call you plenty of names. Somebody very close to me said, people say that you have become very, what was the word she used? Very opinionated. I think that was the word she used. You become very opinionated. I said, no, I just believe the word of God. And it was somebody in my family that was very close to me. She said, my family was talking about me. I said, well, they can keep talking, right? Because I'm immovable. I'm immovable. I'm not saying that I'm immovable on things that don't deal with Christ. I'm talking about with the Lord, what the Lord is telling me to do, I will be immovable. When my daughter had a stroke and everybody said, you cannot leave the best hospitals on the East Coast, that would just be foolish. So I was called basically a bad mother, okay? And any mother out there knows that that's got to be the worst thing that you can ever be called, is to think you don't love your children. Yes, it was hard. Because it was people that loved me, that were supposed to love me and be very close to me. But what did the Lord say? Go to Oklahoma. Well, then I'm going to Oklahoma. Because if I stay, it won't be good. But I'm going because I'm trusting the Lord. And they weren't great hospitals out there. I'm not going to lie. I could tell you a lot of stories. But every time, but I knew my daughter wasn't having another stroke. See, the immovable part of me said, no, my daughter will never have another stroke. She is healed of the Lord. And it's not going to, nothing else is going to touch her. Because, boy, you want to fire me up, come after my kids, enemy, and then you really will get me fired up. And so then I'm going to go because I'm immovable, no matter what it is people are saying to you. So I don't care what people are saying to you. The Lord's dealing with you to give something away. I don't care what people say. That is financially not a smart decision. Yes, it is, because it's God's decision. He's the best financial planner you'll ever have. Amen?
Amen.
He's the best financial planner. He's the best life coach you'll ever have. And if I'm immovable off of his plan, then whatever he says, I'm doing. Okay? So we're going to stay steadfast. No matter what the world says or thinks you should be doing, it doesn't matter to you. So therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, being in abundance in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I know my labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain to the Lord. You will reap a harvest in due season. And better than that, when you get to the other side, you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? There's no better words than that. But it's as we stay steadfast in the Lord. It's as we stay steadfast. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's my word for today, to stay steadfast. Yeah. To stay steadfast. Don't give up. Don't back down. Don't relinquish your spot. My biggest thing is don't back down. You are called to be an ambassador of the Lord, the Bible says. An ambassador means you take your orders from your home country. This is not our home country. Heaven is my home country. That's where I get my orders from. I don't get my orders from here. I don't look like here, because an ambassador doesn't go in and look like where they went to. They bring change to where they're going. So my culture is sticking with me, and my culture is heaven. And I'm staying true to that. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to encourage you all to just continue to stay steadfast. You have it on the inside of you. You don't have to strive for it. But when that temptation comes to give up or to be weary, you can say, no, I'm staying steadfast and I'm staying with the Lord. I will not compromise. I will not back down. Amen. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what my family says about me. I don't care about what other Christians say about me. I'm sticking with the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. And then I'm going to laugh when they talk about me. Amen. I do laugh a lot. You're like, people talk about you all? Please, hello. Come on. It happens. People talk about this church. And I just laugh every time, because I'm like, God is building the church. It's not us. You know, anyway, that's a whole other story. Yeah, amen. Pastor David says, stop. Praise God. So let's just lift your hands to heaven. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for what you had for these people. Lord, I thank you that your word does not return void. So, Lord, I thank you for this word to be engrafted on their heart. Lord, I thank you for the steadfastness in the people here at New Freedom and those online. Lord, I thank you that you are with them, empowering them, equipping them, encouraging them, that you are right there with them. And, Lord, I thank you that as they stand, they will reap a harvest. Praise God. Lord, I thank you I just pray a blessing over each and every person here. Lord, I just thank you that you strengthen them right now. Lord, I pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit on each and every person here. Strengthen them. The places where they've been tempted to give up and they've handed over to you this morning. Lord, I thank you that you strengthen them right now. Whether it's been on their family, they've been tempted to give up, on their marriage, on serving you, on compromising at work, whatever it may be, that they're saying, Lord, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down. Lord, I thank you that you are right there, that your Holy Spirit lives on the inside of them to guide them, to teach them, to help them. Lord, I thank you that you already have the steps prepared. We just magnify and glorify your name. If you're listening online and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's a very simple prayer. You just say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Wash me. Cleanse me, set me free. Thank you that you died for me and that you rose again and that you're coming back again for me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you that I'm on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us online. We're glad you were here today. For those of you that are here,